Revelation chapter 9. I draw your attention especially to verse 3, though we'll be looking at the whole portion of Scripture that we read. Verse 3, "There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." Locusts upon the earth. That's what the text says. That's what the vision is about. And that's what we want to reflect upon this evening. Now, in this fifth trumpet vision, we have seen that there are two things prominent. Satan is prominent. We're given a picture of who he is, what he is about. He is destroyer, Apollyon, and he is interested in destruction. He doesn't work alone. There's something else that is prominent in the text. It's this bottomless pit, the abyss, of which Satan is the fallen angel over. The abyss is his headquarters, from where he brings havoc and destruction upon the earth. And many things in this book arise out of the abyss. In this book of the Revelation, we see heaven acting upon the earth, heaven working upon the earth, but also in this book, we see hell acting upon the earth and working upon the earth through Satan. The power that he has to work, we are sure, is delegated power. Almighty God is sovereign. He, the devil, has not all power. Power is given to him, it says. And to the angel of the abyss is given the key of the abyss. Whatever Satan is allowed to do on the earth, we must never forget this. The Lamb opened the book. The Lamb unloosed the seals. And these trumpets of judgment are blown in heaven. They're not blown in hell. God is sovereign. What takes place on the earth is terrible. What comes from the abyss is dark and vile. But God, the Holy One, is on the throne. And none of what takes place here is outside his sovereignty. It's not beyond his control. We have been looking at what Satan unleashes from the bottomless pit upon the earth. The first thing that we saw last week was this smoke of hell, which brings darkness, thick spiritual darkness, darkness that is accompanied with moral pollution. Even the air is affected. Hell's atmosphere fills the earth. This smoke and this darkness is not harmless. It is, in actual fact, a cover. A cover for more harm. The smoke doesn't come alone. Satan doesn't just intend the smoke coming. There is something in the smoke. There is something further. There is something more coming out of the abyss. Something worse than death. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Now, they've obviously come out of the abyss too. They come out with the smoke. But now, as the smoke permeates through the earth, they come out of the smoke. And they are manifested. And they break through. Through the air and through the darkness. And they break out. And they are unleashed. And there are multitudes of these horrific beings. They are like an army, in fact, and some military language is used. Chariots of many horses running to battle. They're like an army. But these are not natural locusts. You would know that. They're called locusts. But they're not natural locusts. They're not literally grasshoppers. They are not literally from the animal kingdom. This is not a vision about nature. And this is not natural. This is satanic. This is spiritual. And so this is not literally locusts. And we're not to anticipate that somehow in the future there will be these literal locusts literally appearing like this upon the earth. That's not what it's about. This is highly symbolic. And I take it as symbolic of the devils and the demons. The Satan here brings darkness into men's minds and hearts. And his association with darkness we saw last week. But he doesn't act alone. He has an army. He has helpers. He has fellow fallen creatures like himself who are under him. And when he fell and became the prince of darkness and the prince of the power of the air to pollute mankind, he brought others with him. He didn't fall alone. Others followed him. Hell, the Bible says, was prepared for the devil and his angels. He's not there alone. His angels. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and the verse 9, the great dragon, that's another picture of Satan. He was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, just as in this vision that we've seen. But it also adds there, and his angels were cast out with him. So there are others with him. His angels were cast out with him. They're with him. They didn't go to other worlds. They didn't go to other parts of the universe and leave Satan. No, they all went to the earth with him, to be with him, and for him to be with them. They are a united company. Now notice, these angels that are fallen are called his angels. They're his. He is king over them. Satan's angels, they forsook God, you see, these angels. They chose Satan as their master. They stood with him in rebellion and were all cast out together. No longer the Lord's angels, no longer part of the hosts of him who is the Lord of hosts, but they have chosen another Lord. They have come to stand with another captain, even with Satan. It's an awful thing to think that there were holy angels and they chose Satan over God. And they would rather be his angels than God's angels. Isn't that an awful thing? It's hardly believable. It defies imagination. And yet it's true. Not the last either to do that, because sinners seem to make that choice all the time. To Christ, sinners are saying all the time, we will not have him to reign over us. We will not be the Lord's. We don't want to be the Lord's. And in saying that, they must naturally submit to another king. Because those Jews who said, we will not have him to reign over us, those very same Jews said, we have one king, Caesar. We will not have Jesus the king, for we own Caesar the king. And sinners are doing this all the time. They're choosing other kings than Jesus Christ to govern and to be the love of their hearts. The truth is, all who reject Christ stand under Satan's banner, and he is the Lord over all the proud. Verse 11 tells us the relation of Satan to this army. They had a king over them, Apollyon. That's interesting. These locusts have a king over them. You know, the Bible says the locusts have no king. Proverbs 30, verse 27. In natural history, in nature, locusts don't have a king. They go forth with them as bands. They have this unity and harmony of movement and motion, and yet there's not a king in sight, and there's not a king in the front of them. But these are not locusts from natural history. These are wicked. These are from the spirit world. And these locusts have a king over them, Satan. Under his guidance, he unleashes the darkness. He unleashes them. They do his bidding. They carry out his commands. They do the reconnaissance upon the earth and gather the intelligence for him. For he is not an omniscient nor an omnipresent being. But he has these angels. And they are locusts upon the earth. And so while the devils and the demons have connections with hell, they also have connections with the earth. They have power, verse 3 tells us. Unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Another likeness is introduced. Locusts as scorpions. Herding power. They're not like grasshoppers, and the locusts of the natural world that are unlike scorpions altogether. But here they are as scorpions, and there are many of them in the vision. And it's full of metaphors and full of imagery and similes. The similes are to paint their terrible, fearful, sinister, and destructive nature. They are devils, really. They are the demons of the pit. The holy angels are an army also. The Lord of hosts, but a holy and glorious army, a pure army, shining for the Lord. The church is an army too. The Bible says, like an army terrible with banners. Yes, the church has a banner, the banner of God's word. They carry the banner of the cross. And it's a terrible army because it has the power of the gospel and it has the power of the word and it has the power of the blood. Not terrible like these locusts are terrible, but majestic and mighty through the power of God's word. They are the army of the church. But this is Satan's army. And it's terribly deformed. You can see that. All of these similes, women's hair, faces like men, teeth like lions, terribly deformed, fearfully ugly, inhuman, unhuman, unangelic, devilish, perverse, corrupt, depraved, a mutant army, contrary to God's created order. And the devil has control of them, and he unleashes them. And they are attacking our young people and our fellow men and our families and our neighbors. Egypt had a plague of locusts. You read about that in Exodus chapter 10. It is, in actual fact, the eighth plague. They went over all the land of Egypt, it says, even to the very coasts. And they were very grievous. The Bible says there were never any locusts like them before. The Bible also says there'll never be any locusts like them after. They covered the face of the whole land. The land was darkened. They eat everything. Eat all the herbs and the fruit and the trees. And anything that was remaining green after the hail and all the other plagues, they just cleaned it all up and finished it off. Throughout all the land of Egypt. It was horrific. But what we have in Revelation chapter 12 is far worse than that. And it lasts far longer than that. Locusts are normally interested in grass, vegetation, food, not people, not men. They can't eat men. They can't digest humanity. But these locusts here, they have a command not to hurt the grain or the vegetation. They only are interested in hurting man. They directly attack man in their minds as well as their bodies. Verse 4, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. All those things that the locusts in Egypt hurt, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. A limit is set on their power. It's not all men either that they can attack, that they can exercise this lethal power on. The power is not unlimited in its reach to the whole human race. Only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. They can only hurt sinners who are unconverted. They can only torture and torment the unregenerate. The sealed are God's people. Christians are sealed with the Holy Spirit. They are under another king. They have the refuge of Jesus Christ. They are under the power of the blood. They have the seal upon their foreheads. The symbol of that is their baptism that they have received. Those who belong to the Lord and have his badge and are indwelt and possessed by the Holy Spirit, the elect of grace, they cannot be under the power of Satan and his devils and are untouched by these locusts. What did John say? He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Can't touch him. Now he can tempt him, he can attack him, but not like this. They're not to touch the people of God like this. The wicked one toucheth him not that is born again. These locusts do not physically kill. That is not their interest. There are things worse than death, and that's what they want to inflict. And so to them it was given that they should not kill them, verse 5, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now some have said that in locust plagues, which are in the summer, the life of a locust is about 5 months. And that therefore will be the maximum duration of a locust plague. Unless those locusts are destroyed, or unless those locusts are starved by there being no vegetation left. Otherwise, it's the full duration of their life. And these locusts go the full duration, 5 months. Can't be killed. They'll not be starved. They'll not be halted. The whole length, the whole time, the whole period, they work, they act. There's no ceasing them, no preventing them, no getting away from them. They will run their full course until the end, until the winter season, until the last day. We have another as here in verse 5. Their torment was as the torment of a scorpion. Now, there's very many of these as's showing you that it's simile, it's a metaphor, not literal. It's full of imagery here. So they don't literally have a scorpion sting. But their torment is as that. It's as that. That's the image. Scorpion-like in their power. Scorpion-like in their torment. They torment men. That scorpion-like nature is repeated again in verse 10. They had tails like unto scorpions, and their stings were in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Throughout the whole time. To torture men, to torment men, to hurt men, not to kill them. To inflict upon them torments. Terrible torments. Awful despair. The scorpion's power is in his tail. Now the scorpion of the North African desert and the Middle Eastern deserts are most interesting creatures. Their sting does not normally kill. Not normally lethal. In the North African campaign during the war, 1940 through to 1943, there was a mourning ritual that the soldiers carried out throughout all that campaign in the deserts. The soldiers of the British 8th Army and the soldiers of the African Corps, it was the tipping upside down of their boots before they put their feet into them, because they didn't want to get stung by a scorpion. It was terribly painful. The pain did not ease for days. It was awful, and it throbbed with the same intensity as the moment that you received it. Didn't go away. And these locusts are like that. They torment like that. And it's torment of men's minds. And that's what is depicted for us in the next verse. Verse 6. In those days men shall seek death, because they're tormented. Nothing in life. Life's depressing. Life's tormenting. And they would want to rather die and be dead, and yet they can't find death, and they can't take their lives. terrified of living and yet terrified of dying. And the desire to die and yet death flees from them. Now what does that mean? Well, that's a picture of a man in torment. That's a picture of torment painted. That's the, how tormenting it is. That's how torturous the devil attack upon them is. It drives to despair. The darkness has, of the smoke has entered into the mind and the heart, and there's no light, and there's no peace, and there's no joy, and there's no hope. There's just the darkness of despair, and yet the fear of death, and yet the hopelessness of life. Can there be any greater imagined torment? In dark despair, and yet no relief, no hope of relief, no help, not even relief through death. No, mankind, even apart from the devils, has mental and psychological problems. Sinners are tormented, you know. Tormented in their minds regularly. Because of guilt and remorse. There are torments that are worse than physical disorders. Torments through sorrows. Torments through imaginations, torments through hallucinations, torments of depression, torments that come through drug abuse and addiction, the torment of failure, the torment of bereavement, the torment of mental oppression. All these things are tormenting. But what heights they reach when the devils get a hand in it all. What heights they can reach. There are sinners that are tormented today. There are sinners that have huge psychological problems. And some of them reach immense heights through the wicked one. And if demonic activity is allowed to intensify as portrayed in this vision, how horrible the earth can become. You know, there's generation coming up now through drug abuse and through the perversion of the internet, through so much. There's a generation coming up that are going to have immense psychological problems. And the National Health Service cannot cope with it. Let alone the physical things. There seemed to be much demonic activity at the time of the first advent. And probably as we get near to the second advent, demonic activity will intensify. Satan, you see, knows his time is short. He has great fury upon the earth, and the demons, as it were, mass together of the torment that evil spirits can inflict upon mankind. The Bible supplies many examples. Take King Saul, for example. Started out well. Seemed to be a good man. But he became highly troubled. Highly psychotic. Fixated. You'll hardly find a more troubled man in the Bible. Because the Spirit of the Lord left him. The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. But that wasn't the end of the story. An evil spirit troubled him. Tormented him. Like these locusts torment men. An evil spirit from God, even his servants sought. Even his servants sought, and they said, an evil spirit troubleth thee, master. And he's filled with envy. And he's ruined and destroyed because of a song. Because of a song that to him seemed to give more glory to David than to him, and he's ruined because of his song. And the torment enters into his mind, and it eats him up, and it consumes him altogether. What an awful course he is set upon because of the torment. He can't pray. Heaven doesn't hear him. He's no comfort. He murders a priest. He ruins his family. He breaks his son Jonathan's heart. He drives away the man who loved him, David. The man who was faithful to him. He visits a witch. He seeks the dead. And in battle, he can't even find death. And his armor bearer will not kill him, to slay him, as he finally seeks death. He's the picture of these men. He's the type of all these men who are tormented by the locusts. At last, he falls on his own sword. And then there are New Testament examples too. You remember the woman of Canaan. Have mercy on me, O Lord. That's my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. She's tormented. She has no peace. She's troubled. It's intense. It's severe. So that I, even a dog of Canaan, I'm falling at your feet, Lord, that you would set her free. That's what the devils do. They have torment. And they want to torment. To torment. The cruelty of it. Now, torture has to do with the body, but torment has to do with the mind. With the mind. They're tormented. They don't have the seal of God on their minds. They don't have the stamp of the Holy Spirit on their foreheads. It's in the mind that they have the torment. You remember Legion? In the Legion of Gadara? After the Lord set him free, you see how he's changed. He's sitting. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. He's not deranged anymore. He's not tormented anymore. Before that, he wasn't sitting. He's tormented, and he's restless, and he's moving around, and he's in the tombs, and he doesn't dress right. He dresses like a tormented man. He undresses, and he has no rest. And there are all these voices in his head. All these thoughts passing through him. All these things that the devils are bringing before him. He's tormented. He's not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He's not under the power of the Word. He doesn't know the Prince of Peace. Not yet, until Jesus comes. So there are many examples of this. And in verses 7 to 9, we have a description of these locusts. And it's made vivid by the frequent use of simile. It's a terrible marching army from hell itself. And some of the imagery is from the book of Joel. The book of Joel is a parallel book because it deals with a vision of a locust assault, a locust army. So look at verse 7. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle. What does that mean? Well, you know, in old times, armies who fought one another, it was bad enough just to face them on their feet. But if there was one thing that was dreaded in an opposing army, it was their cavalry, the horses. The horses had power. The horses had speed. The horses were unstoppable. You could stop a man. But you had to stop a man on a horse at speed, and that was different. There was momentum, and there was force, and there was unity as they come racing down. Just the sight of them was enough to make you run. These locusts are like that, unstoppable, fearful. And on their head were, as it were, crowns like gold. They're regimental, they're organized. They're like an army dressed. They have the same uniform. And it's a uniform of pride, a uniform of arrogance. They're all wearing these like crowns of gold, these turbans, these glorious turbans, because they're filled with pride, and they know they're unstoppable, and they know they'll put the fear into mankind. They're regimental. And yet their faces are like the faces of men. Because they have, while they're regimental and they have this harmony and they look like a cavalry, they have individuality. And they have personality. They are thinking creatures. They're not literally locusts. They have the faces of men. They have intelligence. They can move their heads and they can think. They can change direction. They can divert from the path they're on. They have the faces of men, you see. With all the eyes and the insight and the instinct of a rational being. Sinners have no hope against these creatures. Devilish wisdom is behind those faces. And yet they have her like women. I must admit now I find this difficult to interpret and to wonder what it means. It may describe the deceitful nature, the alluring aspect of them, pretending a softer side, looking like the gentle kind, alluring, deceitful, changing their appearance as they need. Cunning deception, entrapping and ensnaring sinners. Then they have teeth like a lion. We're not surprised the lion's in here. The devil's like a lion. And these locusts have his nature too. Teeth like a lion. To tear apart, to crush the bones, to overpower their adversaries easily. And then they have breastplates of iron. They have armor plating. And therefore they are unstoppable and cannot be resisted. And mankind is powerless in their track and on their onward momentum. And then they're like chariots. Or they have their wings like the sound of chariots flying the fast. They come down from above, they swoop down. Oh, they're just an unstoppable, terrible army. Capable of reaching anybody with those wings and reaching them swiftly too. And none escape among the unsealed among men. So it's a terrible picture of the ravages of hell upon men. What do we learn from this then? What is it about? Well, men and women, we see something of the powers and principalities behind this world. We see Satan and his angels. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we wrestle against. That's what mankind has to deal with. Powers. And there's more to this world than just natural governments of nations. There are principalities and powers. There are forces in the air and upon the world. And it's not the forces of flesh and blood. These locusts don't represent men. Now, some have said they do. There are commentators who say these are Muslims, this is Islam. There's others who will say this is other false religions. And they make it very figurative. But no, they represent the forces behind false religion. And the forces behind the cults and everything else that the devil uses, these are the forces behind it. And then secondly, what do we learn from this? Well, we learn how hard it is to be a sinner without Christ. That's what we learn. The awfulness of not being born again. The awfulness of not being among the sealed of God. Poor sinners. How many are there amongst them that are driven to despair? How many of them hate life, who think they might as well be dead, who have sorrow unspeakable, who have no enjoyment, as it were, and yet they fear death and do not dare die, and yet they hardly want to live. Suicidal, and yet dread death, and cannot find it. Cannot live and yet cannot die. For whom life is vain and futile, and how wretched a life is without God, and how wretched a life must be under the power of the wicked one, imprisoned, enslaved, joyless, sad, miserable, depressed, despairing. Poor sinners, outside of Christ. This is a picture of them. And then thirdly, the trumpet calls to repentance. Men are not killed. Men are made all the more to feel their misery. Tormented sinners should see their state. In all of this darkness, they should hear the sound of the trumpet. They should know that it is a warning. These experiences ought to be awakening. When the torment comes, they ought to say, I need the Lord. When the sinner is made to feel misery and despair, when the sinner begins to see the bondage that he's in and under, whenever he realizes the addictions and the vanity of life, whenever he begins to feel the torment of remorse, he should repent. He should turn. When they get this sting from the demonic tails, they should be led to repentance. They should be led to seek Christ. They should see the joy and the gladness of those who are the sealed, who they live among. They should see the happiness of the Christian. They should see the gladness that they have in their Savior Jesus Christ. Whenever they see the joy of the saints, and whenever they experience the misery of hell, they should know it's a warning. It's a trumpet to repent. It should lead them to repentance. And in this trumpet blast, there is still hope. They are tormented, but they are not dead. And these are the trumpets and not yet the bowls of wrath that come later on. And yet they don't repent. Because it says there in verse 20, the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, that includes the sixth plague, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. They haven't learned yet that the devils are their problem, that they need to repent and turn and seek Christ. And these things should call them to Christ, and yet they repented not.
because it's expected that these would make them repent. And yet the Holy Spirit at the end says, yet they repented not. The last thing that I draw your attention to is the sovereignty of God in all of this. The devil is not God. And the devil is not equal to God. And the devil is under power. It's not a case of the devil and God are equal and there's this kind of conflict going on. That's not the way it is in the cosmos. The God is sovereign. He uses the devil. He gives the devil his power. He puts a leash on him and measures the length of it. So let me point out the constant stress of the Holy Spirit on the sovereignty of God throughout all of this. Satan has not omnipotence. Christ has. And so we read such things as verse 1. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. It was given to him. He doesn't have it by own right or by his nature or by his own omnipotence. He was given it. And it was the sovereign God who has the power of the key. He was given it. Verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. It was given to them. And then verse 4, it was commanded them. The limits of their power was set by God. It was commanded them that they shouldn't hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, nor any tree. Only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And then verse 5, to them it was given that they should not kill them. You see, it's given to them, it's delegated to them, it's limited, this power. Verse 10 there it says, their power was to hurt men 5 months. Limited. The Holy Spirit is continually showing us the limitations of the powers of hell. They're limited. God is sovereign over them all. He uses them. They carry out, as it were, his sovereign plan. And we must never forget that.